Hello, welcome to GCSE Bite Size Science. This is Dr. Chris Smith and also Dr. Kat Arney. We're from The Naked Scientists. Now, we all need to eat to stay alive, but let's find out a bit more about what's actually in the food we eat and what it does for us. Kat, tell us a bit about what food's actually made of.
Well, in the same way that cake's made up of different ingredients like flour, butter, sugar and eggs, our food is made up from a mixture of different molecular building blocks, and we can divide these into four main food groups. So we have carbohydrates, fats, proteins and fibre. And we need to get a mixture of all of these four to have a healthy diet.
But what about the carbohydrates? What are they?
Well, to go back to our cake analogy, carbohydrates are things like flour and sugar, so you can find them in foods like pasta or potatoes as well. And our bodies use carbohydrates as fuel for living. They provide energy for our cells. And you can divide carbohydrates into two main types: sugars, such as white table sugar, and starches found in foods like flour, pasta, and potatoes.
Are they very different?
Well, sugar and starches do have different molecular structures. Sugars are small, simple molecules, but starches tend to be complicated chains of sugar molecules all stuck together.
Now, what about the stuff that tastes great, fat?
Well, in our cake analogy, most of the fat comes from butter, but fats are found in many foods such as cheese, margarine and oils. And you've probably seen fat around the outside of bacon rashers or dripping out of a burger on the grill.
Tastes good, but isn't it bad though?
Well, we do hear a lot about fat being bad for us, and too much definitely can be. But we also need some fat in our diet to insulate our bodies, to keep us warm. And the membranes around every cell is also made of fat. And certain important vitamins like vitamin A and vitamin E will only dissolve in fat. So these are known as fat-soluble vitamins.
So that's the fats. What about things like proteins?
Well, protein is a really important building block in our diet. And in our cells, proteins do all sorts of jobs. For example, they make up a big part of our muscles, so we need to eat proteins for growth and repair.
And what do you have to eat to get them?
Well, in our cake, proteins would be found in the eggs, but you can also find protein in meat, fish, cheese, and if you're vegetarian, in things like nuts and tofu.
And what does that leave from the rest of a healthy diet?
Well, last but not least is fibre, and this is the roughage in our diet. Now, unfortunately, there's not a lot of fibre in a cake, but you can find fibre in fruit, vegetables, whole grains and beans. Now, we don't actually digest fibre, but it absorbs water in the gut, helping food to pass through more easily. And our food is moved through the gut by pulsing muscle waves. This is known as peristalsis. And if you don't have enough fibre in your diet, you can end up with constipation.
Sounds nasty, but how much food should someone eat in a day to be healthy?
Well, this will depend on lots of things: your shape, your size, your metabolic rate, and, you know, if you're a man or a woman and how old you are. Now, a healthy diet contains all the different nutrients in the correct amounts, and it provides the right amount of energy for every individual.
When you mention metabolic rate, what does that actually mean then?
Well, the metabolic rate is simply the speed at which chemical reactions take place in the body. So, for example, respiration, that's the chemical reaction that allows cells to release energy from our food. And metabolic rate can vary between people, depending on several things.
What sorts of things make a difference?
Well, it depends on your age, whether you're male or female, and your genes. That's not your trousers, the genes that you inherit from your parents. It also depends on how much muscle you have in relation to fat. So muscles burn loads of energy. Someone with lots of muscles will have a higher metabolic rate compared to someone who's got a lot of fat. And another way to increase your metabolic rate is to exercise or do other sorts of activity. And we know that our metabolic rate increases as we exercise, and it does stay high for a while afterwards.
So what happens if I don't take your advice, Kat, and I don't eat a balanced diet?
Well, if you don't eat a balanced diet, you could end up malnourished. Now, this could either mean becoming too thin or too fat, and both of those can cause health problems.
It's interesting because most people associate being malnourished with being underfed, but what sorts of problems can you get?
Well, if you're too thin, this can cause problems, particularly if you're a woman, problems with your periods and fertility. And it can also make you more susceptible to illnesses and infection. And also, if you don't get enough vitamins or proteins, you can end up with deficiency diseases. A lack of vitamin D could lead to a disease called rickets, and that affects the growth of the skeleton. There's a disease called kwashiorkor, which is caused by a lack of protein in the diet, and it can cause a swollen abdomen, a pot belly, and hair loss, among other things. And if you don't get enough vitamin C, you can get scurvy. And in the 17th and 18th century, this used to happen to sailors out on the oceans because they didn't have enough fruit and veg along with them for the voyage. So they started taking lime juice with them on voyages, which is packed with vitamin C. And in fact, this is why Americans sometimes refer to us Brits as limeys. A lack of food or essential vitamins and proteins is quite rare in the Western world. And these deficiency diseases are more often seen in developing countries where there may not be enough food for everyone.
Thanks, Kat. So that's the components of a healthy diet and why a person not eating the right foods can develop malnutrition. In part two, we'll find out what happens when a person eats too much and becomes obese.